A leader in a family, first of all, clarifies purpose and they cast vision. Second thing they do is a leader in the home implements an effective strategy. Oh my goodness, what an effective strategy we have here. Look in Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, the strategy he gives there in verse 7, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Look at verses 8 and 9. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. He has a plan here, a strategy here, that is so brilliant, and for several reasons. One is synergy. Look what he says there. He says, you're going to sit. That's like mealtime. You're going to remind your family of the faithfulness of God as you walk or as you travel. For us, it's more drive time than it is walk time. But when you lie down every night, you're going to lie down. As you do so, that's a great time to reinforce the purpose of our family, to cast vision for. And when you rise up in the morning and there's a blank slate there, you see the synergy that's here? He knows that we're going to sit down to a meal. He knows that we're going to be traveling somewhere. He knows that we're going to lie down at night. He knows we're going to get up in the morning. He says, don't add anything to your schedule. Just take those catalytic, regular activities and infuse them with the centrality of God. Isn't that brilliant? It's synergy. You know what synergy is? Over here, you don't seem to have enough time, and you need to exercise, and you also need to spend time with your kids. Exercise, spend time with the kids. Which one am I going to do? Play tennis with your kids. It's synergy. What he's saying here is, want to instill values in our kids. You're going to eat. You're going to travel. You're going to sleep. You're going to wake up. Use them. Use them all. Not only has synergy, but the brilliance of this plan is it also has rhythm to it. Because these things happen over and over and over again. Why is it that you can't remember your driver's license number, but you can remember a song that you first heard when you were in middle school? Rhythm. That's right. There was a beat to it. And a song that went with it, and you sang it over and over and over and over. And there are days when it goes off in your head over and over and over and over, and you can't get rid of it. In the same way, there's a kind of rhythm to the strategy here where he says, go ahead and incorporate the things that you're doing already. There's not only synergy here and rhythm, but there's integration here. Notice there in verses 8 and 9 where he talks about, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. You shall put them on the frontal of your head. What's he talking about? Everywhere you go, everywhere you put your hand, it ought to be enforcing this purpose of our family, the purpose of our life, about love, about relationships being supreme. First of all, our relationship with God. That it's written on the doorpost of your house. Every part. See, we have a tendency to compartmentalize our relationship with God. God bless you, by the way, for being here today, but heaven forbid that we should think about our relationship with God and the purpose of our life and alignment with God one day a week for 1 hour. Oh, we got church over here, but we got business over here, and we got family over here. We got recreation over here, and we got my sex life over here, and we got finances over here, and we got no. There's an integration where this one purpose of our family, which is that relationships are primary, and there is no more primary relationship than the relationship we have with God. It's all throughout our life as we sit down, as we walk in the way, as we lie down at night, as we rise up. Two components to this brilliant strategy. One is consistency. We do all four of those things every day. Consistency. See, I think we overestimate what we can do in a short amount of time. We think that we can not invest in our family all year long, that we can be workaholics, that we can be too busy and overscheduled, and that we can take a 4-day trip to Disney World and solve all of that and make up for all that lost time. You can't do it. We overestimate what we can do in a short amount of time. But you know what we also do? We underestimate what we could do over a long period of time with consistency. Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon? There's some water that's rolling through there, and it rolls through there every day, and it carves down deeper every single day. Just constant. Consistent and constant. And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about not a flash in the pan. He's talking about a lifestyle of loving God, a lifestyle of following God, of pausing before the family makes any decision or takes any direction or spends any money, saying, what does God want us to do? What would be the most God-honoring thing? And that's not a limiting thing, by the way. It's a freeing thing because it gives us guidance. It gives us direction. How would God cause us to treat one another? How would God have us speak to one another? How would God have us answer that attack? A consistency. You know, the Jews had a consistency. As they took the Shema, they would recite it twice a day. But they not only had a consistency daily, they also had a consistency and a rhythm to life weekly. It's called the Sabbath. And again, God bless you for being here today. I think it has an impact on your marriage. I think it will have some impact on your family just being here and singing praises with God's people and studying God's Word. Don't you find that it doesn't solve all the problems? Doesn't provide instant maturity. It's not all there is to it, but just this weekly rhythm, doesn't it get you back on track a little bit, doesn't it? At least remind you where you ought to be. The Jewish people not only had a weekly, but they also had annual rhythm. They had festivals and feasts that they would observe on a regular basis. And we don't practice that as a church, but you know what? We have some built-in annual rhythms that we could use to emphasize the value of loving God with all of our being. We've got things like Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter. We've got things like Father's Day. Guys, celebrate Father's Day. Give him that bad-looking tie and another something to grill with, but don't let this day pass without somebody in the family bringing up the perfect Heavenly Father. I can't think of a better time to celebrate our perfect Heavenly Father. James, it says, all good gifts come from above, and that's right. And we need to pause today, sometime today, and say, you know, that's the Heavenly Father that we can count on, and that's the kind of Father, as a father, I want to be more like. Don't miss this opportunity. There are all kinds of opportunities all through the year, rhythms where we can lift up that important value of a right relationship with God. If we don't begin with God, we're going to end up in the wrong place. You know, a couple of things that we try to encourage is we try to encourage here at Lake Point to build in your marriage a regular date night. And that can become one of those weekly catalytic rhythms for you. To take a time for mom and dad to get away from the kids at least once a week. And you don't have to spend a lot of money. You can go to a park for a picnic. You can go play a round of putt-putt. I don't care what you do, but just to get away from the television and the telephone and the kiddos and talk about what it means to love God as a couple. And shoot for 4 a month. But if you hit 2, consider it a success. Give yourself a ribbon or something, okay? And we try to encourage a weekly kind of rhythm called family fun night. For those of you who have younger children, to have one night where you just go do something that's a blast as a family, but as you do it, to be intentional about it, to build it around a value, to build it around making God the center of your home. And so they'll remember having great times, having a lot of fun, but it being connected to that central purpose of the family. Two components to this brilliant strategy. One is consistency. The other is intentionality. It's not enough just to be together as a family and fight, okay? That we have intentionality, that there are values that we're passing on to our children, that we're sharing about God's faithfulness. We're giving our own personal testimonies of God's grace to us as we point to our children. And in the process of this, we're going to have formal conversations where we teach. We're going to have informal conversations where we get to know our spouses, our kids better, our brothers or our sisters better. We're going to have intimate conversations where we're going to be able to give counsel. And we're going to have encouraging conversations where we're going to be able to coach and cheer one another on as we seek to follow the Lord. A leader in the family implements an effective strategy. Finally, a leader in the family or a leader in the home lives the vision. They live the vision. Is there something that's not happening in your home right now that you wish were happening? Is there? Then you live the vision. You do it. If you want your family to be more generous, then you be generous. If you want more forgiveness to be going on in your family, then you forgive. Forgive them for not forgiving you, okay? If you want there to be more sensitivity, more kindness, more joy, more celebration, more romance, whatever it is, then you live it out. What are you waiting for? Stop waiting for someone else in your family to lead. You lead. Sometimes the most unlikely person leads. You know, Moses was a failure. He thought he had been disqualified. God said, no, I want you to lead. Gideon, who said, I am in the smallest family and I'm the smallest, most insignificant person in my family. God says, no, I want you to lead. David, the runt of the litter in his family. God tapped him, said, you're going to lead. A child shall lead them. What are you waiting for? There in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verse 6, it says, and these words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. Before he tells them to pass these things on to their children, before he tells them to remind them what it's all about, for them to trust God, for them to deepen their relationship with God, he says, it's got to be yours. It really does. In Colossians, or 1 Corinthians, rather, the 11th chapter, verse 1, Paul writes these words. He says, be imitators of me just as I also am of Christ. Can you say that to everyone else in your family? Can you? Follow me as I follow Christ. I want everyone in my family to be doing what I'm doing. Do you want everybody in the family to be watching the shows that you're watching? You want everybody in the family to be spending money like you're spending it? You want everybody in the family to treat people like you treat them? You want everybody in the family to think the thoughts that you're thinking? You want your kids one day to treat their spouses like you're treating your spouse? A leader in the home is someone who lives the vision. Jesus was asked one day, what was the greatest commandment? And you know what Jesus did? He quoted the Shema. The passage we have right here in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. He says, it's to love God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your might. But he didn't stop there. There in Mark, the 4th chapter, verse 31, he added this, and the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Well, wait a minute. Thought the greatest commandment was to love God. It is. Then what is he doing adding this second commandment? Is he watering it down? No, actually what he's doing is he's fleshing it out. He's fleshing it out. Because to love God is to love your family. To make God central, to trust God is to take the risk of loving your family. In 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse 20, it says this, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. Pretty strong language. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. If you say, I understand the purpose of my family, it's to love God. I understand my own purpose, it's to love God. And you hate your wife, you're a liar. If you say you love God and you hate your husband, you're a liar. If you say you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you love God and you hate your parents, you are a liar. See, the purpose of our family is love, but it's not just to love God. It is to love God and it is to love others. The two are the same. One is the fleshing out, the living out of the other. To love God is to love those that God loves, to embrace those. And what it's really about, friends, the best way that we can live out the vision is to love the people you live with. Sometimes we guard our words when we're in public because we want to be seen as sensitive, caring people, but we don't guard our words in the home. Sometimes we're serving at church, but we won't serve anybody in our home. What's that about? I mean, really, is it about projecting image or is it about being a real person of integrity and humility? To be a leader, according to the Bible, is to be a servant. To be a servant. It's not about a title. It's not about respect. It's about leading by loving.